in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. We won't read the whole book this morning, at least unless I finish way early. But we will read a few excerpts from each of the three chapters. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And then down to verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as they will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And then to chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then drop down to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of these scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Our dear God and Father, we do thank You for Your precious Word and the precious promises which it contains, and the instructions that it contains for how we should walk and how we can glorify You. And Father, we just pray that as we start this exploration of the letter Second Peter over the coming weeks, we just pray that You would guide and direct our thoughts and help us to glean from Your Word things that can strengthen our walk, can make our knowledge of You greater, and help us to be able to defend the faith and to give a sound accounting to that which we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So, welcome to the study of the letter of Second Peter. This is a letter that is hated and torn apart by the cults and false teachers, for in it they are exposed, and some of the clearest comments and statements of the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are made. Peter began in the first verse calling Him our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he closes his book with a similar phrase, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan then spent the first 200 to 300 years trying to keep this short letter from the covers of our Bible, and then has spent the last 2,000 years keeping the spark of doubt glowing. So as we start our look at Second Peter, I want to first address the question of how do we know which books of the Bible make up our, or I want to first address the question of how we know which books make up our current Bibles, and how can we trust them. The term canon, which comes from a Greek word which means reed or a measuring rod, is used to refer to those documents which have been found and recognized to be the actual Word of God. So first, with the Old Testament books, Ezra had actually collected and recognized all the 39 documents that is included in our Bible today, and the Lord's comments in Luke 11:51, where he accused the scribes of being guilty of slaying all the prophets God sent to the nation of Israel from Abel to Zechariah, supports this thought, since the account of Abel is in the book of Genesis, and the account of Zechariah's death is in Second Chronicles, which in the Hebrew Bible actually falls at the end of their Bible, unlike ours where it falls in the middle. So this validates all the 39 books that we have in the Old Testament of our Bibles today. And again, you know, the Lord Jesus, having made those comments and founded the comments that he said to the scribes, gave his full support for the same exact books that had already been recognized by the Jews as the actual words of God at that point. And this also excluded the various apocryphal books that had already been in existence at that time, and which also included records of other martyrs. But because the Lord didn't go to from Abel to those later martyrs, he was limiting his stamp of approval on just those books that had already been recognized. So then, when we come to the books of the New Testament, so there had been various church leaders throughout the first 3-4 centuries that had commented on the different books that they recognized as being valid, and all but like maybe 5 or 6 were pretty much consistently referred to, and there were a few of which this one was a one of those few that there was some debate as to whether Peter actually wrote it or whether somebody else wrote it. And when you look at the number of clearly false writings of the time, people who wrote and claimed to be Peter or one of the other apostles, Peter's name was frequently used, and so it does make sense that anything with Peter's name, they would be a little bit more cautious on accepting it. And so it was finally in the 4th century that the council at Carthage finally gave their approval of the 27 books that we currently have today. There were some other councils, more Catholic type councils that had had included other books, that had excluded other books. But in 397, we have a group of the churches that decided that these 27 books that we have today were indeed inspired by God and are part of our Bibles today. And so one might ask, so what test did these men use to come up with these books and decide which ones were true and which ones were possibly written by false proclaimers? So first there was the authority of the writer of the book. Was the writer a prophet in the case of the Old Testament, or a king, or a priest, a leader? In the case of the New Testament, was the writer an apostle, or someone closely associated with an apostle? The books of Mark and of Luke, those were not written by actual apostles, but written by men who were closely associated with apostles. All the rest were written by actual the apostles, or in the case of James and Jude, men closely related to apostles and the Lord Himself. Second, did the message tell the truth about God? No book with false claims can be the Word of God. For reasons like this, the Church Fathers adopted the policy, if in doubt, throw it out. So that's partly why for years 2 Peter was sort of guarded as to whether it was truly written by Peter, because some people were raising doubts, and so they didn't want to put their approval on it until they had ironed out those doubts. Third, does it come with the power of God? The early church believed the Word of God is living and active. Consequently, it ought to have a transforming force for edification and evangelism. The presence of God's transforming power was a strong indication that a given book had His stamp of approval. And then fourth, was it accepted by the people of God? The debate would often come back to the question of what did the people think who knew the author. Did people in the time of, in this case, Peter, acknowledged the book to be written by Peter? Or did people close to the time of Peter acknowledge the book to be written by Peter? So despite all later debate about the canonicity of some books, the definitive evidence is that which attests to its original acceptance by the contemporary believers of the writer. The Council of Carthage simply confirmed the books that the early believers had already recognized. So there have been many reasons cited through the years questioning of Peter's authorship of this letter. Some point to the lack of direct quotes to Second Peter by the writers of the first couple of centuries. Some question the timing of the writing due to things like the similarities to Jude, to the mention of all of Paul's writings, to the passing of the fathers, and yet the Lord had not returned. So some of these things, you know, created sort of timing issues for some people. And then one of the most often cited objections that I came across was people questioning the difference in the style between 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And as I researched, I found a very plausible explanations for each of those objections, plus of the many others that people still cite today. So even though there are not many direct quotes from Second Peter, there are quite a few writings from the first century, the second and third centuries that have not necessarily quotations, you know, where they're a word for word, but they are clearly taken from the letter. The book of Jude is one of the examples that You know, there's still some debate as to whether Jude was written first and Peter borrowed from Jude, or Peter was written first and Jude borrowed from Peter. But the, you know, when you look at the aspects of the timing, it does appear that Peter had written his letter first, and that Jude drew from chapter 2. And so what probably had come to full fruit and flower when Jude wrote was only beginning to bloom and blossom when Peter wrote his letter. Also in the late first century, you've got the book of First Clement that was written around 95 that had several phrases that seem to be taken from Second Peter. And just a few years after that, a book called the Apocalypse of Peter, which clearly wasn't written by a Peter, was written around 100, and that one clearly drew from portions of Second Peter. Then through the second and third centuries, you had various men like Polycarp, Justin, Clement, and others who wrote different things, either quoting from Peter or referencing Peter in their list of approved books. And Clement had also supposedly written a commentary about Second Peter. So there, you know, again, even though there wasn't direct quotations, there are plenty of examples of people as early as just after, you know, Peter's death, of people quoting directly from Peter's letter, and in some cases attributing them directly to Peter. Now the often cited objection of Peter's authorship of the differences in style, I actually think is one of the weakest of the objections, because, you know, Peter was writing the two letters from two different perspectives, and also in the first letter, Peter had clearly stated in 1 Peter 5:17 that he was writing this through another brother, where in 2 Peter he makes no such claim and probably had written it himself. So that alone can contribute a lot of the difference in style. But then when you look at the content of the two letters, you also see a lot of reasons for a difference in style. Peter wrote his first epistle because he was moved by the sufferings of the people of God. He wrote a second epistle because he was moved by the seduction of the people of God. He was moved the first time by what Satan, the old lion, was doing. He was moved the second time by what Satan, the old liar, was doing. When he wrote his first, the attack was from without. When he wrote his second letter, the attack was from within. So one commentator said Peter's second epistle follows a pattern common to all the other second epistles of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, 2 John. They all deal with error or apostasy. Differences in style and tone between Peter's two epistles doubtless arise from this fact. In his first, he had a burden to comfort those believers who were going through the fire. In his second letter, he had a burden to caution those believers who were playing with the fire. There is also similarities between Peter's last letter and Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy. Peter warned of heresy among teachers, while Paul warned of heresy among of the people. Both apostles anchored the church and the Word of God as the only defense against the coming storm of apostasy. Both men pointed the saints to a thorough knowledge of Christ and adherence to the Word of God as the means to not only be to not be carried away by the storm brought on by the error of unprincipled men. It is thus no wonder that 2 Peter has been attacked, for it is one of the finest shields given to us to ward off the darts of the wicked one, he is shooting at us today. I believe it has also been under attack because of its instructions concerning false teachers. The attacks that 2 Peter has been subjected to, I believe, is actually a clear indication as to its its validity and certainty of its inspiration by God. Counterfeiters are not likely to spend time teaching people how to detect counterfeit money. Likewise, false teachers are not likely to spend time teaching people how to detect false teachers. And Peter, spent time pointing out false teachers and calling the church to be on the watch and to guard against them. And the damage, done to the church by false teaching has been far greater than any persecution the church has endured. So as we start to look at the book of 2 Peter, one way of dividing the book is faith convictions, chapter 1, faith contention, chapter 2, and faith consummation, chapter 3. So over the next few weeks, be prepared to be challenged to add to your faith, to stand guard against the error of unprincipled men, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our goal, like Peter's, is that you would be reminded of the words found in the Word of God, that you may be useful and fruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our dear God and Father, we do thank you for books like 2 Peter that point us to the truth of your word, that warn us of error and those who would bring it in to the church, and that encourage us to walk in a way that keeps us focused on the truth of your word. And we thank you for the men who have gone before us who wrestled with the different writings that had came about during the first few centuries after the death of our Lord, and after the death of each of the apostles, and who had to try and sift through the various writings and determine which ones that claim to be by Peter or the different apostles and make a judgment as to which ones were truly written by the men that they claim to be written by. And we just thank you that you guided those men in selecting the right books, and that you placed your power into the words of each of those books, and you guided those the readers as well as those men who had to judge. You just guided them in preserving your words, and just thank you that today we have the sure word of God, and we can go out and we can witness to the world around us, knowing that the word that we carry is the truth of your gospel, and it presents your true nature. And as we come into contact with those like Daniel and Cyrus came in contact with yesterday, we just pray that you would help us to use your word and to present it faithfully and not to try and lean on our own wisdom and our own abilities to debate, but that we would let your word stand for itself. In Jesus' name, amen.